Welcome to the Cult TV Club. I'm Justin, and we have Angus here.
Hello.
And Alex.
Hello.
And Lisa.
Hello.
And Jeanette.
You remembered my name, well done.
So we've just been watching The Avengers, and not the new sort of superheroes Avengers, but the old 1960s Avengers, which ran from, 61 to 67?
69, yes.
And the particular one we were watching was with John Steed and Emma Peel. Yes. And
played by Patrick McNee.
Diana
Rigg.
Diana Rigg, yes.
Familiar to anyone that's watched Game of Thrones.
Yes, absolutely. And so I guess this one was also from the 1960s. About 3 weeks ago, watched Batman from the 1960s as well. Yeah. So we didn't expect that we were going to be sort of sticking in the 1960s so much, but nevertheless, did you see any similarities between that or differences? What do you feel about what it says about the 1960s in some way?
I actually found this was, the Batman series we watched last time was American, this one's English, but it's a completely different type of humour. I found the Avengers was very very witty, whereas, Batman was very slapstick voice. Vaudevillian, aimed to a lower brow, maybe a younger audience. The Avengers was quite witty and highbrow in their humour, but still very funny and still very entertaining.
They're a bit trendsetting, weren't they?
Yes.
Especially Emma Peel in those catsuits.
Mm. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Who's watched this before? Angus, have you seen this before?
I've seen a couple of episodes when I was well and truly younger, so I don't really remember much about it, I'm afraid to say.
Yeah. No, this is a completely new experience for me. I wasn't sure what I was expecting. I assumed it would be slightly campier than what it was, based on me assuming that the show would be campy.
Well, after Batman.
Probably not as campy as Batman, but at the very least probably more like, because I was vaguely aware that, it's a spy kind of thing, and I assumed it was basically more not taking itself as seriously as it could have been. But then again, I had no idea what I was expecting coming
into interestingly, we watched one from the next season just recently, and it was in colour.
We should probably mention what actually happened during this episode, shouldn't we?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. In this episode, we saw John Steed finding Christmas presents in his dreams.
An evil Santa.
And so evil Christmas trees and evil Santa. And the dreams were coming true. And in the end, he found out that he was being, I guess,
psychically manipulated.
Yes. With the aim of killing him.
Or getting information out of him. I don't know if it was quite clear.
Or maybe both.
Thank God you're just making up as we go along.
Yes, but the former spy died, so I think they were intending to achieve the same thing, maybe.
Who knows?
Isn't that illogical, but they're getting secrets.
Yeah.
A lot of it takes place in a country house with a Dickens theme, so the classic Christmas Dickens theme, and he ends up dressed up as Sidney Carlton, and the inference is that they're going to chop his head off.
Yes. So people haven't seen this series before, but as I said, this one was the earlier ones, it appears at least, were a bit more serious and a bit more macabre and a bit more surrealistic.
It gets lighter as the show has gone on through the seasons.
And we watched one from the next series, which is in colour, and the colours were extremely vibrant. And it was much more lighthearted, and it was much more campy, like you discussed.
I guess that would have been interesting to compare, I think, because it was quite, it was very black and white. There was a humour to it, but it was quite very tongue-in-cheek, but very, highbrow, Ray Smirks type of humour.
It got certainly more surrealistic in the next, series.
Some of them are really quite surreal. That's my memory. The first one I ever watched, there were people in wheelchairs, elderly people in wheelchairs, killing people. And there's another where cats had collars on that made them turn wild and kill. Yeah, it was all taking something that was safe, that we think of as safe, and turning it into something lethal. So that was what I found very disturbing.
It seemed to be a bit of a theme for the show, didn't it?
And I think they're kind of cliche, because this is the first time I've actually watched an episode of The Avengers, and I found it really interesting because I only knew it by reputation. And that awful 90s movie that came out with the Sean Connery, and it just never quite nailed it. But I always saw it as being in the same vein as The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and The Prisoner? Is it The Prisoner? That was really weird and surreal. I kind of saw it almost as a bit of that, John Steed was that very pip pip tally ho, very straight laced, but he would shoot you with his umbrella and with his bowler hat and things like that. So it had that. I think I was expecting more of what you're suggesting in the later series more than the earlier series.
That's what I was thinking of as well, because I barely remember the 90s film and I wasn't sure what I was expecting at all. And it was Yeah, I think it's more macabre than I was expecting, but then again, I think reputation is coming from the car episodes, it seems.
I thought it was funny when he first dreamed, when he walks out in his PJs, he's got his bowler hat on.
Yeah.
Very English. Yeah. Very Englishness. And of course, it is riffing on James Bond. It's James Bond for television. But the Bond girl in this is not decorative.
Yeah.
So what came first then? So obviously the Bond books, then TV series such as this, and then the Bond movies. So this is pre-Bond movies?
No, there would have been Bond
movies. Oh, okay, so this would have been in the middle of the...
Probably was earlier. Yeah.
So, and because I think, to me, there was parts of it that seemed completely out of context, watching this for the first time, and things like those dream sequences, and kind of going, is this really what the show is, or is this because it's a Christmas special, and it's strange, you know, and seeing him opening up a present, and it's a portrait of himself, and I'm like, is this a joke that I'm supposed to get? I don't quite know. Is this is this him being a narcissist, or is this
supposed to be weird?
Yes. So I wasn't sure whether it was in context, and then the next morning showing his apartment and there's the angel scantily clad, and I'm going, is he supposed to be a playboy? Yeah, we pretty much worked out very quickly. Yes, he is.
But only through the cards.
That pretty much nailed it for me. Yes.
But I think earlier than this, I mean, all of them had that sort of sci-fi. They were fairly sci-fi, you know, people being shrunk down and then being swatted with swat things and all sorts of things that were sort of riffing on science fiction stories, but with horror elements. And so it was interesting to watch that later one that was a bit more flamboyant. But we'll have to, maybe at some stage, we'll
share some
of that with you.
That was another thing, I guess. I didn't realise it would have the sci-fi element in it as well. I thought it would be, you know, very James Bond cops and robbers, MI5 spy stuff. I didn't, to have that kind of, you know, psychic attack, telepathy type thing. It seemed a little bit, almost a little bit X-Files in it as well.
Batman, they actually believed. There was even, I think, an actual CIA department looking into telepathy. So, and there's a lot of TV series where you have government departments that are researching into extrasensory perception. There was one called Omega Factor.
Omega Factor.
Yes. 70s. It had Louise Jamison, who was Leela in Doctor Who. She went on to that after she left Doctor Who. She was one of the main actors in that. That's another one we've got on there.
I was going to say, do we need to add this to our ever-growing list?
It was very good. Well done. But so for a long time, this sort of stuff was taken quite seriously. And they did believe that, you know, it was a potential weapon. They were looking into telepathy as a weapon.
So rather than seeing is, like, say today, we'll probably see some sort of psychic thing and just think of it as a purely magic and ridiculous thing. It's probably like, oh, this is something slightly on the fringes of science rather than we poo-poo it 50 years later.
Yes.
And I guess this episode, which this was what, mid-60s, would you say? You know, and this is right in the middle of, you know, your MK Ultras and your, you know, your psychic attacks and experimentation with LSD to be able to, you know, the outer limits of the mind. And, and even though this is quite black and white and it's quite severe and it seems quite serious, I guess it has those storylines that are kind of running through it as well. Like, that's the undertones of the episode.
It's got Fringe the TV show.
Yes!
Hidden in there somewhere.
What did you think of the sexual politics of Emma Pitt?
I loved it. And you know what?
She's great.
I just think, all I've written in my notes here is awesome Emma Peel. Like, I just, I can't get over how cool she is.
When they talk about, you know, should there be a James Bond? I think, no. I want Peel, Mrs. Peel. I want, you know, the series about her, because she was great.
She's incredible. So smart. She's badass. She's switched on. She's, like, just everything that was happening through the whole episode. She's completely on the ball the whole time. She's absolutely
pretty much equal to Steve.
Definitely. They have very equal partnership.
The only difference is that she is not always told what's happening. And so she's trying to play catch-up because Steve's ego is so like, oh, I'm in charge of everything. You don't need to know that. And so she's solving the problem in a very abstract way because she's having to deal with all these just basic hurdles thrown at her.
Which is exactly what happened in this episode. She's kind of gone, right, I've worked out what's going on. I'm here to save the day. And he's like, oh, no, I worked out as soon as I walked in the door what was going on. So where's the, you know, where's our partner? Oh, I knocked him out. I thought he was the bad guy. Whoops. But she is... And And, you know, considering this is a 1960s character, we had a similar conversation with our Star Trek episode about
The
characteristics of the females compared to the men. Like, they nailed it with her as a character, as a three-dimensional character in a TV series.
Well, the BBC tended to do that at the time.
But it wasn't BBC, it was ITV.
That was ITV.
And there are TV shows that are out today that haven't nailed the three-dimensional female character in a way that this show has.
Yeah, I think so too. Mm-hmm. I thought it was amazing. I thought we've gone backward, not forward. Yes. This suggests we're actually gone backward.
And also, like, even though some of the stuff she's wearing, I found her rather cute in her, what was it? It was Oliver Twist suits it up. I thought it was quite cute. But it was like she was eye candy, but it wasn't like this. Her character is eye candy. It's just she...
No, she was very attractive, but she's not over the top. She isn't eye candy.
Yeah.
She's...
No.
Which isn't what the introductory credit really leads with the latex cat suit and the
When I was a teenager, I wanted to look like Emma Peel. Oh.
Hey, I want to look like Emma Peel.
I think I'll leave my opinions on Emma Peel silent.
Well, that series was very popular. In fact, it was so popular there was a follow-on series later on. It was called the New 80s. Avengers. Yeah. It was in the 70s. It was 76 to 77. That was Patrick McNee and Jonah Lumley. So that's where Jonah sort of made her name to a large degree, was in the New Avengers. So it continued.
Wasn't she in a similar show as well? Sapphire and Steel.
Sapphire and Steel. That's right.
I've never seen that. It is on the list.
Another one for the list.
Yeah, I have a copy of one of those, but only one.
Was it shown in Australia?
I don't think so. I don't know if it was.
Very popular in Britain.
I remember when I first heard about it, I'd never heard of it before, and I thought I knew every...
I heard it mentioned
sort of one of these kinds of things. How much had it, do you think it had aged? It's certainly not something that would be made today.
No, I think
But it should do, because it's great.
I think it would be more fast-paced if it was made today.
But it is very slow-paced.
Yeah.
Which is funny, after watching Batman, which is super bam, 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 bam.
Yeah.
This is very slow.
And it's also, like, the mystery isn't hugely mysterious compared to the stuff you'd see in a spy or sci-fi thing today. It's very much, oh, hey, this is like a thing that you think is going on is going on. And it's more how they're going to get out of this mess rather than it's a huge mystery we're trying to work out.
And I think that was the twist of the show, wasn't it? The fact that Steed actually realised what was going on. Everybody, like, the audience knew what was going on.
Yeah.
Emma Peel twigged, but it's like, oh, Steed's just falling to pieces over here.
Yeah,
no,
it's slightly
inebriated
and singing. Yeah,
the twist was that he was onto
it. He was onto it and had an answer and was about to deal with it,
He still couldn't have dealt with it without Emma Peel, though.
Yeah. No, absolutely not.
He would not have dealt with it without Emma Peel coming in with her boots.
The space boots. Yeah, so it's got a fairly modern feel, I think, in some ways, but I don't think it would be made today in the same way.
No.
But certainly those elements were there.
There's possibly shows that are out today that could be comparable, I guess. I'm just trying to think of one, though. It's really cleverly made, but whether it would be, if it's something that came out today, it would be more like your murder mystery, or then it would have to be more, like extra, like Fringe, where it's got those elements plus extra, or the action, or the murder mystery, or your NCIS's, or your CSI's.
Yeah, you really can't really do any spy things today, unless you're dealing with, like, cyber hacking and stuff like that, because I don't think that really makes sense in the 21st century anyway. It's not like you have secret spies who know stuff about whatever and doing secret testings of whatever. Usually it's the stuff we see today would be some sort of secret thing. We're doing it in secret that they don't actually get part of normal society or something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm not even sure what they'd be doing if Emma Peel and John Steed, what would they be doing today if they got transplanted 50 years into the future? What kind of spy stuff they'd be getting up to, even?
Oh, we'd have to watch the movie again, I think.
Should we not?
Yeah, because...
Well, even that's dated now. That was 1990.
Yes, that's
1990. Because, unless they're doing some sort of cyber thing, I'm not sure what they'd be doing in this era. Like, what would what would two spies living in, I guess...
So interestingly, I thought I had parallels a little bit with Doctor Who. Probably not the current series, but with some of the previous series with the Doctor and his assistant.
Yeah.
It had that similar element.
Yeah, possibly, but a bit more punchy and shooty than...
Newman was... It was his idea before he went to work for the BBC and created Doctor Who, so he created the Avengers and he created...
The Avengers pop.
Yes.
There you go. And that probably explains a bit. And so even with the writing with that, you imagine, like, John Steed with that, oh, yeah, I knew what was going on along, and how many times have we seen the Doctor do that.
Yeah.
All right, so there we go. The Avengers. I don't know what we're going to watch next time, but it'll be probably a bit later, I think, than the 60s.
Yeah, a bit more contemporary, a bit more in colour, perhaps. This is the first show we saw in black and white, actually. Yes, so it's not...
Need colour. Okay.
It's not need colour, but it's just it's in change of pace to have... Oh, this is a series so old that it's still in monochrome.
Well, next we need to watch a silent film, then. That's all that.
A silent colour film. Right, good.
Yeah, this has been a really good Christmas episode. I think when it comes to finding a good Christmas episode, I think this one's done really well.
Mm.
But does anyone have a favourite Christmas movie?
Christmas movie?
Yeah.
I'm not really a Christmas movie sort of person, I don't think. So
aren't they ordinary Disney? And...
yeah.
Well, for you two, surely it would be Lord of the Rings.
I was going to say that, of course, on Boxing Day.
Because that was when it was released, wasn't it?
Yes,
This year it's Mortal Engines.
Yeah.
Famous Christmas, the Christmas movie.
Yeah. The Christmas movie, Boxing Day movie. All right, thanks very much, and that's it for the Cult TV Club for this month.
And happy Christmas, everyone.
And happy Christmas.
Happy New Year.
Can anybody sing John Steed's song?
He can, but we won't.
Good planning.